Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 2nd of June, 2026, Zechariah.
All right, before we get started, this is a great announcement. Thank you all for your prayers for Vacation Bible School. In the last few days, the number of kids that are coming has doubled. That is phenomenal. But Debbie needs help. So Debbie needs help with some pre-Vacation Bible School craft preparation that can be done at home. If you would like to help, meet with Deb tomorrow night in the big classroom after class. All right? This is beautiful. I came to study the other day, and the message had messages piled up. I listened. I would like to bring my kids to Vacation Bible School. I'd like to bring my kids to Vacation Bible School. And on and on. So it's been very, well, you know, the prayers of a grace-righteous believer are powerful and effective and accomplish much. I think this is going to be the best Vacation Bible School we've ever had this year. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We also have some updates at the Las Ventanas Assisted Living Center, May 27, 2026. Al Bingham was taking over for Rich Blair. We had another great session at Las Ventanas today, the Faithful Six Ladies. Now, I love the Faithful Ladies. I just don't like the number six. We need to get seven Faithful Ladies. Not six. Especially we don't want 666 Faithful Ladies. The Faithful Six Ladies were once again in attendance. We open by singing along to Alan Jackson's Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, followed by prayer. We then listen to the first half of Lesson 9 in the Psalm 23 special, which included points on logistical grace support and logistical grace blessing to David in the context of the Absalom revolution. The ladies are very appreciative for the opportunity to hear grace and truth accurately taught. Please continue to pray for this group that they might continue to be encouraged in the Word. Al Bingham. And then an update on the Valencia Senior Living Center report, May 28, 2026. We had our faithful two, Bob and Charlie. I came a few minutes early, and Bob was already there waiting for me, saying, "Where have you been?" No, he didn't say that I had. I went down and knocked on Charlie's door, and he came to class, and we started. We started Lesson 3, where Pastor started in Philippians 3, 18 and 19, talking about our citizenship, and that our citizenship is in heaven, not on earth. It's in heaven. As Christians, as the body of Christ, we are just sojourners here on earth, and our permanent residence is heaven. Heaven will be perfect and far more stimulating than our short time here on earth. After class was over, Charlie began asking questions. The question asker. He asked if we would be married in heaven. No wedding bells in heaven. I explained that we don't have weddings in heaven. Pastor Olson will not be marrying people in heaven. But we will know and recognize all of our family members and friends who place their faith in Christ. He asked a few more questions about the resurrection body. He liked the part that we will look the same and be able to, he really liked this part, he'll be able to eat and drink and never get sick. And our bodies won't fall apart. Amen. That's what I say. Both men were appreciative of the class and look forward to it. Please continue to pray for this opportunity to provide the class. Thank you, Jerry Cahoon. All right. Zechariah chapter 6. We're almost through with chapter 6. We're going to finish chapter 6 tonight, I promise. And we're going to get into chapter 7, the next two chapters, 7 and 8. Now, this is a very unique next two chapters. I know some of you, you get into this fasting. You fast. Fast on a certain day. Fast. Some of the rest of you get into something else. It's called feasting. A lot of you do a lot of feasting, and a few of you do a little fasting. Well, we're going to get two chapters, and God is going to warn this special delegation. A very special delegation comes from 12 miles north of Jerusalem, a little town called Bethel. And this delegation is coming down, and they're coming down, they have questions about fasting. Well, they aren't ready, they weren't ready to get this kind of an answer. The answer comes from God. And when God gives them the answer, God chews them out, braces them, and tells them, all you're doing is ritual without reality, and ritual without reality is meaningless. They get hit upside the head by the living and true God. It's straighten them out on their issue of fasting. So that's the next two chapters. But right now we got to finish chapter 6. And in Zechariah 6, 9 to 15, we have the crowning of Joshua. We exegeted verses 9 through 11, which sounds like this. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah, saying, receive the gift from the exiles, from Heldai, Tobijah, Jediah, who have come from Babylon. And go the same day and enter the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. And take the silver and the gold, which they are bringing, silver and gold, from Babylon, and make a crown, and set it on the head of Joshua, the high priest, the son of Jehozadak. Well, we study that. Then something happens in the next verse. In verse 12, abruptly, Zechariah is commanded to deliver a special message to Joshua. Behold, the man whose name is the branch. And that title, the man whose name is the branch, that's a very special messianic title for Christ as the son of David. The noun man puts the spotlight on the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God had to become true humanity in order to carry out the Father's plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. It was the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ that went to the cross and solve the world problem of sin once and for all. Israel is the tree, and the root of the tree is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his first advent. Then the fifth cycle of discipline made the tree a stump, but Jesus Christ grows out of the stump, and he becomes the branch who will fulfill the four unconditional covenants to Israel at the second advent. The Abrahamic, and I'm going to, from now on, the real estate covenant. The Abrahamic covenant, the real estate covenant. I'm not calling it the Palestinian covenant anymore. Abrahamic, real estate, Davidic, and new covenants. So the branch is a messianic title for Christ as the son of David. And we saw that in Isaiah 4:2, Jeremiah 23:5 and 6, Jeremiah 33:15 and 16, Zechariah 3:8, and our verse, Zechariah 6, verse 12. Now, in the rest of this passage, Zechariah 6, verses 12 to 15, seven prophecies are given concerning the messianic branch. Prophecy number one, Messiah, the branch, the tzemach, will branch out, the tzemach. That was prophecy number one. Prophecy number two, the Messiah, the branch, will build the temple of the Lord in the millennial kingdom. Prophecy number three, the Messiah, the branch, will be clothed with glory. Prophecy number four, Messiah, the branch, will sit and rule on his throne. He will be a king. Prophecy number five, Messiah, the branch, will be a priest. So the branch, the Messiah, will function as both a king and a priest in the millennial kingdom with great wisdom and sagacity and peace and harmony. The Messiah will exercise not only his kingly role, but his priestly role as well. The branch, the Messiah, is not a priest from the Levitical Aaronic priesthood. Rather, He is after the order of Melchizedek, king of Salem, who was both a king and a priest. So verse 13 says, yes, it is he, the branch, the Messiah, who will build the temple of the Lord. And he will be clothed with glory. And he will sit and rule on his throne. And he will be a priest on his throne. And the council of peace, great harmony, will be between these two offices, both king and priest. And then verse 14 serves as an illustration of prophecy number 6, which is given in verse 15. In other words, in fact, let's read verse 14. It says, now the crown will become a reminder in the temple of the Lord to Helam, Tobijah, Jediah, and Chain, the son of Zephaniah. So what this is saying, like the Jewish delegation that came from Babylon in Zechariah's day, Gentiles will bring gifts to Jerusalem in the millennial kingdom. And this is the illustration. And that brought us to prophecy number 6. Messiah, the branch, will build the millennial temple with gifts donated by righteous Gentiles. And we exegeted Zechariah 6:15a, and it sounds like this. Even those from afar, those from afar are Gentiles from all around planet Earth in the millennial kingdom, will come and help to build the temple of the Lord. And then you will know that the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty, has sent me to you. And then we noted 3 points and stopped last time. Point one, Messiah, the branch, will build the millennial temple with gifts donated by grace-righteous Gentiles, spiritually mature Gentiles in the millennial kingdom. Two, in other words, like the Jewish delegation from Babylon in Zechariah's day, Gentiles in the millennial kingdom will bring gifts to Jerusalem. Point three, the Messiah, the branch, will use these gifts to build the millennial temple. And we stopped there, but there were several passages I wanted to take us to. So let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And in Isaiah 2, 1 through 4, we have the glory of the future millennial kingdom. Zechariah 2, let's start at verse 1. This is what Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 2, in the last days, that's the millennial kingdom, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hill, and all nations will stream to it. Gentile nations from all over planet Earth. Many peoples will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. In other words, there will be fantastic Bible conferences presented by the Lord Jesus Christ. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law, the word of God, will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And then look over at Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 5. And again, Isaiah 60, 1 to 22, we have the glory of Israel in the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 60, verse 5. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with happiness. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. This is Gentiles all over planet Earth. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations, the Gentile nations, all over the world in the millennial kingdom, the riches of the nations will come. Look at verse 9. Surely the islands look to me. In the lead are the ships of Tarshish from Spain, bringing your sons from afar with their silver and gold to the honor of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. And then verse 11. Your gates will always stand open. They will never be shut, day or night, so that men may bring you the wealth of the nations. The Gentile believers, these are winner believers all over planet Earth, that men may bring you the wealth of the nations, their kings led in triumphal procession. And then look over at chapter 61. Chapter 61, verse 6. Chapter 61, verse 6. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of the nations, Gentile nations. And in their riches, you will boast. So, the Messiah, the branch, will use these gifts to build the millennial temple. Isaiah 2, 2 and 3, Isaiah 65, 9 and 11, Isaiah 61, 6. Point four. You don't have point four. Point four, when the nations bring their wealth to Jerusalem, the entire world will know that God the Father sent the Messiah, the Anointed One, to Israel to build the millennial temple and to rule the world in perfect righteousness, justice, and peace. When the nations bring their wealth to Jerusalem, the entire world will know that God the Father sent the Messiah, His Anointed One, to Israel to build the millennial temple, yes, but not only that, but to rule planet Earth with perfect righteousness, justice, there'll be perfect peace and perfect environment. Now that brings us to prophecy number 7. Zechariah 6, 15b. Prophecy number 7. And this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is the conjunction vav plus the cal perfect of hayah, plus the particle im joined by a makef to the cal infinitive absolute of shama, plus the cal imperfect of shama repeated, plus the preposition base prefix to the noun kol, plus the tetragrammaton with the noun Elohim with the second person plural suffix. Now, the conjunction vav is, first of all, a connective vav, and correctly translated, and But it's also a conversive vav, converting the perfect of Hayah to an imperfect, looking forward to the millennial kingdom. And then we have Hayah. That's the Hebrew to be verb. H-A-Y-A-H, Hayah. The Hebrew to be verb. And literally it means to fall out or to come to pass. But figuratively it means to happen, to occur, to take place, to come about, and it should be correctly translated, and this will happen. And this will happen. And then we have Im Shamoa Tishma'un. Well, we have the verb Shamah. Shamah is the verb that means, first of all, to hear. To come to Bible class, to hear the teaching of the Word, to listen to it. But then, why are you coming to hear and to listen? It doesn't do you any good unless you believe it. And you can never apply it. You can never obey it if you don't believe it. So, Shamah means to assemble in a sound Bible teaching church, to hear and listen the teaching of the Word of God, the Aletheia, but then you must believe it. If you don't believe it, you'll never apply it to your life. You will never obey it. In fact, you will disobey it. And so here is why we have this verb now, Shamah. If you diligently obey, is how it should be translated. And then we have Bekol Jehovah Elohekem, the voice of the Lord your God. So, who are you obeying? You're obeying the living and true God. When you obey the Word of God, you're obeying the mandates from God Himself, the living and true God, the voice of the Lord your God. So the corrected translation, and this will happen if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. All right? One. This phrase was first uttered by Moses in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, when God promised to bless Israel if the nation obeyed all of His mandates once it entered the land of Canaan. So this phrase was first uttered by Moses in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. When God promised to bless Israel if the nation obeyed all of His mandates once it entered the land of Canaan. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. If you will fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands, I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands. Now, At first glance, God's promise to Israel in Zechariah 6, verse 15, seems conditional and based on obedience to the Lord. However, point two, such is not the case because these are the blessings of the unconditional covenants, the Abrahamic, real estate, Davidic, and new covenants. However, such is not the case because these are the blessings of the unconditional covenants, Abrahamic, real estate, Davidic, and new covenants. Three, the Messiah's rule and the temple's construction are settled in God's supreme plan for Israel in the millennial kingdom. The Messiah's rule and the temple's construction are settled in God's supreme plan, the decrees for Israel in the millennial kingdom. Four, Zechariah was saying that an individual's participation in the millennial king blessings. Zechariah was saying that an individual's participation in the millennial kingdom blessings will depend on that person's obedience to the Lord. Will depend on that person's obedience to the Lord. All right. So, Zechariah 6, 12 to 15, sounds like this. Then say to him, Joshua, this is what the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty says, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he, the branch, will branch out. Prophecy number one, from his place. And he will build the temple of the Lord. Prophecy number two. Yes, it is he, the branch, the Messiah, who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with glory. Prophecy number three. Clothed with glory, splendor, majesty, and honor. And he will sit and rule on his throne. Prophecy number four. And prophecy number five, he will be a priest on his throne. And the council of peace, great harmony, will be between these two offices, both king and priest. Now the crown will become a reminder in the temple of the Lord to Helam, Tobijah, Jediah, and Chane, the son of Zephaniah. Verse 15, even those from afar, prophecy number six, Gentiles from all around the world in the millennium will come and help to build the temple of the Lord. And then you will know that the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Tsevaoth, has sent me to you. Prophecy number seven, and this will happen if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. All right. Now, what is said about the branch, this messianic title of Christ in the millennium, what is said about the branch corresponds to what is presented about the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The word Christ is equivalent of Messiah. So what is said about the branch corresponds to what is presented about Christ in the four Gospels of the New Testament. So, first of all, the branch as royal king. The branch is royal king. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Turn over to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. The days are coming, declares the Lord. This is God the Father. When I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. So that's Jeremiah. The branch is the royal king. Jeremiah 23:5. This description describes and corresponds to the Messiah's presentation as the righteous king in Matthew. So this corresponds to the Messiah's presentation as the righteous king in Matthew. Turn over to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. I'll wait for you. Matthew 2. Verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, this is Herod the Great, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." So the branch is royal king. Jeremiah 23:5 corresponds to Matthew, the righteous king in Matthew. Matthew 2:1-2. Secondly, the branch as servant. Zechariah 3:8. The branch as servant. Zechariah 3:8. Listen, O high priest Joshua, and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come. I am going to bring my servant, my servant, the branch. Zechariah 3:8. Messiah is clearly identified as the servant of the Lord, the servant of God the Father, who came to do the Father's will, who came to fulfill the incarnation plan of the Father for him, to fulfill Operation Grace, the cross. And this, well, we're going to see it in Mark. As a king, Matthew, as a servant in Mark. But first of all, turn over to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Here is my servant, Jesus Christ, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I am well pleased. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Now go over to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, verse 3. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel," and that is the name for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, "in whom I will display my splendor." And then look over chapter 50. Chapter 50. Chapter 50, verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? The Lord their God the Father, his servant Jesus Christ the Messiah. And then look over at Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, verse 13. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. And then over Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, verses 11 and 12. Verse 11, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied, propitiated by the knowledge of him, Jesus Christ. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. The imputation of the sins of the world and Christ on the cross and judgment of those sins. And therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered, identified with the transgressors, an offering for the sins of the world. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah 53, 11 and 12. So the branch is the king. That correlates with the Gospel of Matthew. The branch is the servant. That correlates with the Gospel of Mark. Turn over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So the branch as a servant is presented in the Gospel of Mark. The branch is being true humanity, fully man. Zechariah 6:12. The man whose name is the branch, Zechariah 6:12, corresponds to the presentation of the Messiah in the Gospel of Luke. And the branch as undiminished deity, fully God, Isaiah 4, verse 2. The branch of the Lord in Zechariah 4, 2 corresponds to Messiah as the Son of God, in the Gospel of John. So, one, these seven prophecies in Zechariah 6, 12 to 15, these seven prophecies in Zechariah 6, 12 to 15, provided an overview of God's plan for Israel. Provided an overview of God's plan for Israel. Two, these prophecies kept hope alive within the nation that one day its Messiah would come, the branch, and rule the world in the millennium. These prophecies kept hope alive within the nation that one day its Messiah would come, the branch and rule the Son of David and rule the world in the millennium. Three, when he comes, he will be crowned both king and priest. When he comes, he will be crowned both king and priest. Four, when he comes, he will fulfill all the prophecies described in these first six chapters of Zechariah. When he comes, he will fulfill all these prophecies described in the first six chapters of Zechariah. All right. See, some of you doubted me when I said we were. I know you were doubting me. I said we're going to finish chapter 6. We finished it. So now you got a rebound. See, accusing me of not telling the truth. Although, how many times have I said if we're going to finish and we never did finish? Multitudes and multitudes. Aha. Not to worry. Now we're in chapter 7 and 8. Fasting. And looking at it from the divine viewpoint. So what is Zechariah chapter 7 and 8? What is the principle behind these two chapters? Because there's a whole group that are coming from a little city 12 miles north of Jerusalem, Bethel. A delegation that has been sent from Bethel to Jerusalem. And they have questions for the priests and for Zechariah and Haggai. They have questions about fasting. And the thing is, they're not ready for the answer, because the answer is going to come from God, and God is going to kick them in the butt and tell them, ritual without reality is meaningless. It's worthless. It's useless. And all of your fasting is meaningless, worthless, useless. You should have been in Bible class. You should have been learning and believing the Word of God. That's what you should have been doing. You should be obeying the mandates of God's Word and glorifying Him, not this ritual without reality. So God just absolutely kicks him in the butt, and God puts on his cowboy boots when he does it. And they got booted. So two chapters here. They weren't counting on this when they came down. They thought they would be... God would be impressed. All of their fasting they've been doing, God is not impressed. So, ritual without reality is meaningless, worthless, useless. One, a delegation from Bethel arrived in Jerusalem, and they had questions. Questions for the priests and for the prophets, Zechariah, Haggai, concerning fasting. They have questions concerning fasting. Two, they asked whether the annual fast commemorating the destruction of Solomon's temple should be continued. They asked whether the annual fast commemorating the destruction of Solomon's temple should be continued, since a rebuilt temple was well on its way to completion in Zechariah's day. Three, some of the people were growing weary of keeping the fast. And not just this one, but they were keeping all kinds of other fasts too, that they had instituted while they were exiled in Babylon. So some of the people were growing weary, tired. They're going through the ritual, keeping this fast, as well as several other fasts that they had started while they were in Babylon. Four, these fasts had become burdensome rituals with no spiritual significance. These fasts have become burdensome rituals with no spiritual significance. Five. In Zechariah chapter 7 and 8, God addresses the delegation's question on fasting. Six, Zechariah presented God's answer in four messages. Zechariah presents God's answer to their question. God's answering their question, and he's just going to kick them in the butt, saying, "You are totally out of line. You should, instead of being in Bible class and learning the absolute truth of the Word of God and believing it and obeying it and living your life and glorifying God, all you're doing is making an issue out of yourself. You're doing this for yourself. You have no spiritual life. You're not honoring God at all. And if you keep doing this, you're going to be no different than your forefathers who, 586 B.C., God administered the fifth cycle of national discipline. And they had great prophets. Jeremiah was a great, great prophet. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. They hated Jeremiah. They had Isaiah. Isaiah was a great, great prophet. They didn't listen to Isaiah. They had Hosea. Hosea was a great, great prophet. They didn't listen to any of them. They should have been in Bible class with humility and positive volition and listening to Jeremiah, Isaiah, Hosea. But they weren't. And these prophets also brought up their ridiculous ritual without reality. Fasting specific. Isaiah spends an entire chapter chewing out the butts of the generation that went into the fifth cycle of national discipline. A whole chapter just chewing their butts out. They didn't listen. And what God is saying to this group delegation from Bethel, if you don't turn around in your thinking and obey the word of the Lord, you're going to bring divine discipline from God on yourselves, just like that generation in 586 BC. And they were destroyed, Israel destroyed, Jerusalem destroyed, the temple destroyed, most of the people slaughtered, and the survivors taken to Babylon. So Zechariah, point six, presented God's answer in four messages, seven, God told the Bethel delegation what it needed to hear. He told the Bethel delegation what they needed to hear. Great warning. A great warning from God. Not what they expected to hear. God told the Bethel delegation what it needed to hear. Not what they expected to hear. 8. Each message was introduced with the form of the phrase, the word of the Lord of, well, the word of Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the word of the Lord Almighty came to me saying, four times, Zechariah 7 verse 4, Zechariah 7 verse 8, Zechariah 8 verse 1, Zechariah 8 verse 18. These four messages. The word of Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, came to me saying. So, they've come down from Bethel to Jerusalem, and they have some questions about fasting. They thought that they were getting tired of it, but God just flat out kicks them in the pants and warns them, if you keep going the way you're going now, you will have divine discipline come upon you as it did on your forefathers in 586 BC. Well, that kind of woke everybody up. See, some of you thought, oh, wow, two chapters on fasting. Oh, why do we have to study that? How about two chapters on feasting? Whining. Whining and feasting. Why not that? Well, these are very, very important and powerful chapters. You got a lot here. So we'll start there. You got the introduction to chapter 7. See, I didn't lie. Here we are. We'll take it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.